Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to High Point Bible Study. If you are eating, please keep eating, keep chewing. Last month, I spoke on, my name is Lee, by the way. I'm the campus pastor of our downtown campus that meets right here. Last month at High Point, I spoke on gluttony, and I'm so surprised that they invited me back. We're not going to talk about gluttony today, so keep eating, get seconds, thirds, get more cookies. Today is Administrative Professionals Day, so we are so happy that we have administrative professionals here in this downtown business district. Anyone here, an administrative professional, would you please stand? We'd like to honor you. Anybody else besides Diane here? They're all in your offices busy working for you, right? Okay, well, if you're eating, keep eating. I'm going to pray for us real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters that are in this room today. They have come to enjoy some barbecue from McKeska's and also to hear from your word. And we pray your blessings upon this food that we are eating, and we pray your blessings upon this message that you will speak through me and let my flesh get out of the way. And we also honor all of our administrative professionals today. Some of these folks are the most hardworking and least of the accolades go to them sometimes. So we pray, Lord, that we would all be championing their cause. We would be encouraging them today and honoring them today and every workday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so no administrative professionals here. But how about accounting and finance professionals? Anybody? I promise I'm not going to call you up here. Accounting and finance professionals. Okay, I was hoping there would be none of y'all. Because my topic today is the financial ledger of a Jesus follower. And it's going to be very simple from what you guys do as professional accountants and finance managers. Let me read, first of all, the scripture that we have today. If you have your Bibles or your High Point message guides or your mobile devices, please follow along with me from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Hear the word of God. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it's safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God in glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. May God bless the reading of his word. So the Apostle Paul here is talking about bragging rights, if you will. All the credits that go to his column in the credit in the spreadsheet of credits and debits, or you may call it, this is the financial statement of a Jesus follower. Financial statement listing assets and liabilities. And the Apostle Paul has all these claims to fame, all these credentials, all these assets that from the surface don't seem like liabilities. Now, Now, Houston, Texas, we love Houston, right? Let's bring up that slide. We love Houston. If you're driving along Katy Freeway and around the Heights, you'll see this. We love Houston, Texas. Even though we're here in a little oil slump, we have lots to brag about. And we as Texans, we love bragging. We are the fastest growing city. Number one, fastest growing city, according to Forbes magazine, their annual list in 2015. We're also the most diverse city in America. According to Steve Kleinberg, sociologist at Rice, he says, so substantial is the Houston region's diversity that it has become the nation's most racially and ethnically diverse large metropolitan area. It is more racially and ethnically diverse than the metropolitan regions of New York, L.A., Chicago, Miami, San Francisco, and others. And we look around this room and we see our ethnic diversity. We're number one. Way to go, Houston. I read recently, just Christmas of last year, the Washington Post, of all journals and media publications, they ranked Houston as one as a top foodie city. A top foodie city. Any foodies here? Those who love food. Cook food, eat food, anything. Thank you for not coming to my sermon on gluttony, but coming to this. Houston is among the top foodie cities. Number one was Portland, number two San Francisco, three LA, four New Orleans, and number five was right here, Houston. Number six is Philadelphia. We even beat out New York, number seven, Chicago, number eight, Washington, D.C., number nine, and Charleston, number 10. And then just yesterday I read in the Wall Street Journal, Houston is among one of just five global cities that are leading the way in urban innovation, along with Singapore, Medellin, Colombia, Detroit, and Vancouver. So way to go, Houston. Growing, diverse, foodie, and urban innovation. Now, back to the Apostle Paul here. He has lots and lots of bragging rights. He is very self-confident. The self-confidence movement has influenced all of us to promote ourselves. I used to be a HR director and recruiting director, and a lot of people would come to me saying that they felt like they weren't being recognized or promoted or given the right raises or getting the right opportunities at another company because they weren't promoting themselves. And so we talked a lot, those of us who are Jesus followers, we talked a lot about how a brother in Christ, how a sister in Christ can self-promote while staying humble. And it's a hard line. It's a very hard thing to do, to say the truth, but not to embellish it and not to exaggerate about it. My best definition of humility is knowing our right standing in relation to God. So He is our Creator. We are the created. Every skill we have, every gift we have, is from God. The Bible tells us every good thing comes from God. So as long as you speak the truth, knowing that and in that attitude, I think self-promotion is kind of a necessary evil in our business world today. But anyway, the Apostle Paul has every right to do self-promotion and to bank on his self-confidence. Now, my parents valued something different, though. They come from more of an Eastern culture mindset. I grew up in Shanghai, China. So they valued low self-confidence as opposed to high self-confidence here in America and most of the Western world, especially in Texas. I think Texans just like to brag. And they try to teach me what they value in not doing too much self-promotion. They think I brag too much. So my conclusion just recently, my realization before God, I used to think that self-confidence was so much better than high self-confidence was so much better than low self-confidence. And even from a biblical perspective, perhaps, high self-confidence was better than low self-confidence. But as I search the scriptures, and as I look at this passage in particular, it's not that high self-confidence is better than low self-confidence, or low self-confidence is better than high self-confidence. It's who we put our confidence in, or whom we put our confidence in. Confidence, that word, if you break it apart, con, many of y'all know Spanish, con means with, right? If you know Latin, fide means faith. So confidence is going with faith, walking with faith, living with faith. And is it walking with faith in ourselves, or is it going in faith with our God that we should trust? God confidence would be more biblical than self-confidence. Confidence in the flesh, that phrase is in this passage three times. And we are not to have confidence in the flesh. When the Bible describes flesh, some of your newer translations, if it's the New Living Translation, NLT, or CEV, Contemporary English Version, it'll say new self versus old self. Some of the older translations describe it as flesh and spirit. So flesh is who we were before Christ, trusting in ourselves. And spirit, or new self, is after we're born again, after our salvation experience, after our regeneration. And we are told to not have confidence in the flesh, not have confidence in the old self, pre-Christ. Proverbs, the book full of wisdom, chapter 27, verse 2, tells us, let another praise you, not from your own mouth, a stranger, not your own lips. Let somebody else praise you, not yourself. Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 32, says, if you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, put a hand on your mouth. Literally, if you've been devising evil, or if you've been exalting yourself, and that's not truthfully communicating about yourself. It's falsely communicating about yourself as more exalting yourself more than the truth. Put a hand to your mouth. If you're a webmaster, delete that web page, whatever that means in your context. So. We see here in this passage the language of an accountant. The language of an accountant. And sometimes accountants have a bad rep, right? It's all your fault if you're an accountant. I think that's the case in a lot of professions. A lot of professions have a bad rep. What about lawyers? Some lawyers here, doctors, they're sued for malpractice all the time. Even pastors, we get a bad rep sometimes as well. Administrative assistants perhaps get a bad rep as well. Or politicians. Oh, they're the worst, right? Yeah, just turn on the TV anywhere these days. But we have the language of accountants and finance. The word count is in this passage three times in just 11 verses. The words gain or profit is in here twice. Loss is in here twice. So let's now look at the financial ledger, the debits and credits of a Jesus follower. Verses 5 to 6 here are the key verses I want to focus on. These are the seven religious credits that do not impress God. And these are the ones that Paul lists, the Apostle Paul lists, that he tries to not put confidence in. The first is ritual. So we have a spreadsheet on your message guide here. And I know for you professional accountants, you guys do double entry bookkeeping. You probably use Oracle, SAP, or QuickBooks. This is going to be very simplistic. One column of debits, one column of credits. So the first credit we have is ritual. The scripture says that Paul was circumcised on the eighth day. Not the best subject to talk about while we're eating lunch, right? But he is from a very high-ranking kind of family and very high-ranking Jew. So he was an eighth-day circumciser. You know, when you go to the hospital, they'll have to schedule appointments. They'll have to schedule surgeries. I'm trying to transfer my some heart medication right now from a local pharmacy to a mail order, and it's taken a week and a half just to get approval from the doctor. So they schedule things, right? And Paul's family was able to schedule his circumcision on the eighth day. Those people that were lower class than him, they did it on 10th day or the 14th day or much later on. Also, another religious credit he had was nationality. Nationality. One of our presidential candidates say that we must make America great again. And another presidential candidate said we must make America whole again. So a lot of people have national pride. It says in the scripture here, Paul was of the people of Israel, strong and proud to be an Israelite. The third credit he has was his rank. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was among one of the top tribes. Ranking is important. The only college sport I follow is baseball, and that's because I went to Rice University. We don't win in anything else. Do you follow college baseball, anybody? I was so distraught that Rice was number 27 among Division I NCAA schools 2 weeks ago, and we were 24 last week. We should be in the top 10. This week, we're not even in the top 30 rankings. Good news, though, if you are a Texas Tech Red Raider, you're number 17. Even better news, if you're a Texas Aggie, you're number 2. Can I get some whoops? Are y'all too busy eating? Number 2, Texas Aggies. Houston Cougars, I'm sorry. Longhorns, y'all aren't ranked either. So we're in good company with Rice. The fourth aspect of his religious credit is tradition. Tradition. It says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He practiced all these traditions. And a lot of us think that we have to follow these traditions in order for God to be pleased with us. And it's not so. The fifth is religiosity. He says, as to the law, a Pharisee, or you can also put in a legalism. He followed the law to the T. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious scholar at that time. He was a high-ranking religious leader. And the best thing I remember to describe a Pharisee, the attitude of the heart of a Pharisee is, every morning they wake up and they look at themselves in the mirror and they say, oh, I'm fair, I see. That's what a Pharisee. Number 6, sincerity. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. So as a Jew, he persecuted the Christian church. He was zealous. He was sincere. But he didn't know the truth before he came to Christ. And then finally, good works. Good works. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Most Americans would still say, and even if they claim to be Christian, would still say, what does it take to get to heaven? What does it take to spend eternity with God and not separated from God? It is good works. Most people would say, still say, good works. When we ask people, if God asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? Most people still say, I try to do more good than bad, or I go to church, I go to High Point Bible study. And good works are great, but good works do not qualify someone for entrance into eternity with God in heaven. 1 John 5:13 in the scriptures say, these things in the Bible I've written to you so that you may know for sure that you will spend eternity in heaven. And so what is that one thing that qualifies someone for eternity? It is God's grace. It is our faith in him. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. That's the two key verses. For it is by grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Favor we didn't deserve. All the administrative professionals today, you deserve favor today. But God's favor we do not deserve. It is by grace you have been saved through faith in this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We can't boast of all these credits on our general ledger, on our financial ledger. It is by his grace. Through faith, God offers this salvation to everyone through Jesus Christ. And our response, through our faith of trusting in him, is the only thing that would give us spiritual favor from God. So verses 7 to 8, continuing on, is a declaration of Paul's worthlessness. worthlessness in himself. God, of course, ascribes worth and dignity to each of us, but we are worthless in and of ourselves. He moved all the seven credits to the debit column. So you may as well put a big X in the credits and move them to the debit column. This is one of the bad things about hard copy, right? Can't do that very well there. But move all those to the debit column. And what does he consider all these things? He considers all these things rubbish. So we're just going to put a big rubbish word on that. It's rubbish. Now, this word in the original Greek means refuse, garbage, trash, sewer debris, filth, worthless. I hope everybody's finished eating when I say this. In the original King James Version, if you have that, it's translated very correctly and very literally. In the King James Version, it says, I consider them dung. D-U-N-G, dung. If you don't know what that is, Google it. So all these things are rubbish, trash, not worth anything. And verses 9 to 11 to conclude, we must be found in him. Found in whom? Found in Jesus. In Jesus, what does that mean? In trusting fully in Jesus. That's the only thing that affects our salvation. So there's one thing that goes into the credits column, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ. Some ask, is salvation a point in time or is it a process? And I say, yes. Yes, both of those are true. To paraphrase verses 9 to 11, the Apostle Paul says, I was saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. And I'm not saying we don't have assurance of salvation. We do have assurance of salvation. As soon as we put our full faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, we have assurance. But we all go through this process called sanctification that makes us more like Christ. Verse 9, he says, found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So this is what theologians would call justification. I was saved. And then verse 10 is the sanctification part. I am being saved. It says, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So why doesn't God just take us away to heaven at the point of salvation? It's to be made more like him. It's to go through this process of sanctification. I am being saved. And then finally, the theological word there is glorification. Verse 11, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So at the point of our response to the good news of Christ, we are justified. We are justified by Christ and him alone for eternal salvation. And then as we go along in our Christian journey, that's our sanctification, becoming more like Christ. And then at the end of days, we will be glorified. Glorification, spend eternity with him, and even share in his glory. My questions for reflection for you is, what are we trusting in for life eternal? If you're not a follower of Christ yet, I really encourage you to explore and study and ask questions about the claims of Christ. And also, if you are a Jesus follower, what am I trusting in for life today? Am I trusting in these credits, not credits? You know, millennials like to say, sorry, not sorry. And these are credits, not credits, from the Apostle Paul. These are things that on the surface look like great things spiritually. But in the end, it's rubbish. Are we trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation? And if we are saved, are we trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our provision, for our protection, for peace in this violent world? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for my brothers and sisters in this room today. Thank you that they have heard from your word. And as all of us who do follow Jesus are being sanctified, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will inspire us today, lead us in the process of repenting upon things that we're trusting in that we shouldn't be trusting in, and may we transfer that trust to you alone, God the Rock, Jesus the Savior, Holy Spirit our guide. And it's in Jesus' powerful but precious name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming today. Have a great day.